Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're starting Yeshayahu Perek Aleph. This is the first Perek of Sefer Yeshayahu. This book does not start actually at the beginning of his prophecies. We're going to see later on in Perek Vav that is when he starts speaking to Uzziah. It is interesting that this particular Perek is chosen as the first one. It is often known as by its first word, which is Chazon. And it actually happens to be the name of a Shabbos in the year called Shabbos Chazon, based on this Haftorah, based on this Perek. This is the Haftorah read the Shabbos before the Tisha B'Av. So it is the third Shabbos of Pura Nusa. This is the third Shabbos talking about the punishment and destruction that Yeshayahu is sharing. It is interesting that in this particular section is addressed to all the kings. The introductory pasuk is, this is the Chazon, the vision of Yeshayahu ben Amoz, who saw in Yehuda and Yerushalayim in the days of Uzziah, Yosam, Achaz, Yechizkiah, Malchei Yehuda. It's almost as if generalizing that this prophecy is applicable to all those four kings and their generations. Maybe that's why it's put first, even though chronologically it happened a little later. So let's just look at this parak as a overview. It is interesting to note that I'm going to divide into five sections. The first section runs from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Tes. This section is really a prediction of destruction, and in fact, when we lay this on that Haftarah, it is laid in the trap of Echa, as Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, Asher Chazal Yudav Yerushalayim. So it's in that particular cantillation. And it is talking about the destruction. Some of the phrases which we recognize in this are Yada Shor Koneu v'chamos chamor evus ba'olav Yisrael lo yada v'amin lo yisbanan. In this section, Hashem says, "Look, oxes know who bought them; their owners. A donkey knows where to find their food trough, but Israel does not recognize me. Does not even look to see me. I brought them up. Bonim gedalti v'ramamti hein pashubi. I brought them up. I made them special." And Israel turned their back on me. This is the one of the themes of this first section. It's interesting that Malvin points out that on three levels we're indicted of here. On the one level is there's a natural appreciation of a child to a parent, and that should be innate. We should have that sense of who Hashem is our parent. On the other hand, the more that a child has invested in them, the more responsibility they have to that investment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu invests more in us, gives us more responsibilities than the rest of the nations. That means to say there's more of a responsibility and an indictment if we don't live up to that. And finally, when the Malvin points out that it is a basic animal instinct even, that an animal recognizes where it gets chesed from, where it gets its kindness from, and surely we should ourselves be able to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Towards the end of the section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a mashal where he says, he describes how we're going to have kol rosh l'chali, that we're going to have this pain in our heads, v'chol levav davai, and our hearts are going to be, you know, suffering. And then he goes on to explain it, that what this means is, Arzachem shemama arachem surufos ba'esh, your land is going to be destroyed, you're going to be thrown out, and your enemies are going to turn you over. Why? Because Kistom hayinu la'amora deminu. We've been like the city of Sodom and the area of Amora. Now, what that means is, on the most basic level, the Mitzuros points out, is that we deserve destruction like them. But the Malvin says, obviously, because we're acting like Sodom. We're acting like Amora. And if you think about this for a moment, it's important to appreciate the accusation that's being laid against these the generations of these four kings at this point in time is acting like Sodom. Acting like Sodom was not a sin per se of Avodah Zarah, but more of a sin of injustice in society. We're going to have to follow that through all of Yeshayahu's prophecies and see what the accusation is. So at this point in time, it sounds like a problem on a Ben Adam Lechavera level. We move into section 2 of the Perek. Section 2 runs from Pasuk Yud to Pasuk Yud Zayin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu now talks about the Karbonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says famously, Lama li roiv zivcheichem yomar Hashem. Why do I need your Karbonos? As the Malvin points out, there are three types of korbanos. Oh, yeah, there's a korbanos of nedava, a korban that a person would bring because they want to donate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They want to sort of foster a relationship of dearness and kindness. And Hashem says, I don't need that. I don't need this meat. I need your hearts to show me that. Then there's korbanos which you bring to atone for sins. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need your heart. I need contrition. I don't need the fats of the korbanos. And then finally, there's another kind of korban, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us a chayva. We have to bring these certain korbanos communally or individually. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you there. I want you to come. I don't want your korbanos. This is fascinating that as the section closes, then it pivots into tefillah and it says, when you reach out with your hands and you turn to heaven and beg, then I'm not listening to you anymore. Because again, your hands are full of blood. So there's again this sense of injustice of your actions in society is now closing off your channel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the first section was the prediction of destruction of your lands. And finally, the second section over here is about the rejection of the empty korbanos. Now, in Pasuk Yud Ches to Chof, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns around and says, no, I want you, it's a charge to change. I want you to change. If you're going to, im yuchat o'echem kashanim kasheleg yalbinu. Even if your sins are red like blood, I'm going to make them white like snow. I'm going to bring them into, I'm going to allow you back, says Hashem. Come. And it's interesting, actually, that there's going to be a change in trop. For those people who read the Haftarah, there are certain changes in the cantillation where it leaves the Echad tune when HaKadosh Baruch Hu charges us with becoming better and doing the right thing. And this is one of those moments. Because we just, and then we shift back into the Echad tune. Why? Because in section 4 we talk about injustice. Pasuk Chof Aleph to Pasuk Chof Gimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the famous phrase, Echa Haisalazana Kirya Nemana. How does the city, where the city which used to be an emana, used to be faithful, turned into a prostitute? How could it be that a city that represented such justice, such a level of honesty, and now you come back and you see people are leaving loans, people are murdering, people are cheating each other, there are groups of bandits around the city. How could that be? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. Again, the accusation seems to be on a level of justice. And finally, the closing part of this parak from Pasuk Chof Dalet to Lamed Aleph is how Hashem will restart and bring justice. Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to kill all those people who are bringing injustice to Yerushalayim. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to replace them. V'ashiva Shoftayich K'varishon. I'm going to replace the right judges. I'm going to bring back justice to Yerushalayim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the formula. Very simple. Yeshayahu tells us there's one simple formula to this problem. And you know what that is? Zion b'mishpat yipotipodeh, that Zion will be redeemed in righteousness, in judgment, v'shaveh b'tzedakah, and those who return in tzedakah, in righteousness, in justice. I mean, so how do we re-access Yerushalayim after destruction is when we're honest. When we turn around the society which was falling apart beforehand. And then the perek ends ominously with the powerful words where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that v'yoyech osonin oresu po'alo l'nitzoitz, that I'm going to burn the images and those who make them as a spark of varushneim yachdovei mechabe, and I'm going to burn the two of them, and no one, and there will be nobody to put out the flames. This refers to the idols, which is interesting. We're hearing another second level here, not just injustice in society, but the idol worship. Because you know what, says Hashem, is there's going to come a time where the idols in Jerusalem and those who serve them will be burnt in the same houses, and no one will put them out if it doesn't stop now. So again, Yeshayahu is telling us what's about to happen. He's giving us the feedback, which gives us a sense, well, an additional layer of perspective on the Sefer of Melachim. When we read the Sefer Melachim, we heard the kings did bad things, we heard that this king did bad, and so on. The Sefer of Melachim doesn't focus so much on the populace. It doesn't talk about what's happening in the city. It doesn't talk about social structures. It doesn't talk about what's really happening on a day-to-day basis. Yeshayahu is now telling us what's actually happening. And if this is the opening perek, it seems to be thematic for these generations through these 60 years that he is prophesizing, where this is what's really happening on the ground. We're going to move backwards now and see some more particular episodes as Yeshayahu addresses them. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.